my sister-in-law, Marilyn, was driving on the Lodge Freeway in Detroit with her husband, my brother, and their three children in the back seat. Now, she is a hardcore, linear, left-brain skeptic, okay? Worse than any banker could ever be, all right? And any accountant, all right? I mean, you had to show me. Otherwise, it doesn't exist for her. Medicine was her model. Anything that has to do with the mind, very skeptical. This car jumped the guardrail on the other side, on the southbound line, and landed right in her face at 60 miles an hour. She saw the wheels coming and land right there. Every bone in her face was broken. Her kidneys were punctured. She had internal bleeding and was in intensive care for 13 weeks. They took her into the hospital unconscious. And no one thought that she was going to survive the night. She was really in bad shape. And they performed surgery on her for 14 hours. And there was a team of surgeons, six of them. And they were talking during the surgery. As you can imagine, for 14 hours, you would be talking. My sister-in-law reported to me in 1971, when I was 31 years old, and just sort of starting on this path, that she watched the entire surgery. She said, Wayne, you're the only person, you're the only weird one in the family. All right? And you're weird enough to believe this, you know. And it's true, I am, because when I even worked with the mental patients and doing my postdoctoral stuff, they all got together on my birthday, and I mean, these were the real hard, these were people who thought they were Napoleon and were really convinced, you know, and they all got together and they gave me a briefcase for my birthday. And I said, you know, you really shouldn't have done this. And they said, oh, we like you better than all the other doctors. I said, really, why? And one woman said, well, she said, you're more like one of us. You know, it's like... And I sometimes often wonder about who's... Remember the Alan Bates movie, King of Hearts? Did any of you ever see that? If you haven't, check it out sometime. It's like all the mental patients who escape, and then you begin to see that who's really crazy and who isn't. So anyway, Marilyn said to me, Wayne, she said, what happened is that I left my body. And she said, I went up to the corner of the room. I was surrounded by this light, and I was in the presence of God. It was like a consciousness. It was like, I can't describe it because it doesn't have boundaries. It didn't have form, but it was a magnificent light. And I was there, and there was this tunnel. And I could have gone through this tunnel, and I had the choice, and it was so peaceful, and it felt so good. It was the most blissful I've ever been in my life. And she said, and I watched the surgeons performing on me, and I watched them working on my body, knowing that that wasn't me. When she came out of it after 14 hours of surgery, there were two of the surgeons, they were voting on whether they should continue this or not, or whether they should just pull the plug. She had very little heartbeat at all, and she was so badly punctured internally, and her bleeding was so bad, and there was infection and so on. That they just didn't think she would, and if she did survive, they thought it was... So two of them were saying, let's just give up on this, you know, and go on to other people. The four doctors prevailed, who said that we really believe that we can save this person. And Marilyn then made it... She had three little children, my two nephews and one niece. Were in the backseat. They were just little children at the time, 2, 4, and 5. And Marilyn decided that she could re-enter, even though it was painful and didn't want to do it. She was given, it's like given the choice. And she went back. And when she came out of it, she told the surgeons which ones had said, let's give up on it, and which ones had said, let's stay with it. And she had gave them word for word what they had said in this event. And she said, it was at that time that I became really, truly aware. And she said, since then, she has gotten to meet some of what they call NDEers, near-death experiences. And that everybody who has this near-death experience, Raymond Moody writes about it, has the same thing to report. And that is that when they come back, and they do it reluctantly, they have what we call the big picture. And since then, I mean, you wouldn't believe my sister-in-law. She is the calmest, most loving, easiest going. You can't get to her. You can't get to her. She has an inner candle flame that never flickers, though the worst goes before her. And the worst is my brother. And he goes before her all the time. And he's very linear. He's an insurance adjuster. He's a wonderful, loving, beautiful person. All of his stuff is motivated out of caring and concern. He wants to always, but he wants to do so damn much that it becomes like, all right, enough. I got the map. All right, yeah, but do you know which turn to make? Yeah, I know. And it's half an hour of that kind of. And she just sits there and just reads. And when there's a family squabble and people get themselves all upset, she just picks up a book and just excuses herself. And she goes over into the corner and the kids say, you know, when someone will be around, their friends, they say, what's with your mom? And they all say, oh, she's got the big picture. It's like having the big picture. And these people, all of them report, when they come back from that, they have this like near-death experience. It's like tension and stress and anxiety and fear and all of that stuff that occupies so much of our lives is just gone. It's just not a part of the consciousness any longer.